maybe, just maybe, spring is finally on its way after a bruising winter for much of the country. Even in parts of North Dakota today, the temperature got close to 50 degrees. Still, there is this remnant of winter, high energy bills. And for lower-income residents, a hefty heating bill can be an especially big burden. NPR's Andrea Hsu went to Knoxville, Tennessee, to hear how that city is trying to help those most vulnerable.
Think about cold weather states, and Tennessee is probably not one that comes to mind. But spend a few minutes in the customer call center of the Knoxville Utilities Board, and you get a sense of what kind of winter it's been.
So would you be able to pay that by 5 p.m. tomorrow, or did you need a further extension?
The utility has been urging people, if you think you cannot pay your bill, call us. We'll see what we can do.
So the amount to avoid the service interruption right now, let me get that for you here. It'll take me just a moment.
It was the coldest January Knoxville seen since 1985. On average, gas bills were up nearly 30% from a year ago. But that's an average. For the poor, it's been even worse. Jeannie Fox is a customer counselor.
It's mostly the old homes, people that rent, folks that are on fixed income and lower income. Their housing stock is not as good. They're the ones that have suffered.
Most low-income housing here is energy inefficient. We're talking drafty windows and doors, old heating systems, little or no insulation, and monstrous bills. And so every year, social workers at the Knoxville-Knox County Community Action Committee field thousands of requests for help. All day long, they meet people like Bridget Caldwell.
How may I help you?
I'm a caregiver for someone who's in a wheelchair, and he called.
Caldwell has come to apply for energy assistance on behalf of the man she works for.
And I was wanting to get an application for myself as well.
Okay. Why don't we start with you?
Okay.
They've both received final notices, meaning they've got to pay something or their utilities will be cut off. They both usually pay on time, but this winter has set them back. Caldwell, a single mom, owes $260, more than a quarter of her monthly income. The man she looks after owes almost $450, well over half his Social Security check.
These are current charges, and this is kind of what we're seeing.
Cecilia Waters, Director of Energy and Community Services here, has processed these requests year after year for more than a decade. They come from the elderly, the disabled, and families with children.
It's a teeter-totter. You sometimes have to make choices between utilities and rent.
This year, the federal government is spending more than $3 billion on energy assistance for the poor. Knoxville and Knox County expect to get around $3 million of that. And the average grant is a one-time payment of $381. It goes directly to the utility. The program is a Band-Aid of sorts, but Waters says one that works.
It's here, and it keeps a lot of families stable.
The waiting list for energy assistance is now more than 3,000 families long. Waters is anticipating another chunk of federal funds soon. For the most pressing cases, she's turning to churches and other nonprofits, even the Knoxville Utilities Board, for help. Still, since the middle of December, the utility has disconnected more than 3,400 customers. Everyone here recognizes this is a perennial problem. Jake Teisinger is with the city's Office of Sustainability.
I don't think anybody wants to, no churches out there want to keep donating just to pay utility bills. They want to solve a problem, and they want to make sure families are staying in their homes and being able to live a normal life.
The city believes the key to doing that is weatherization. The idea of weatherproofing low-income housing has been around for decades. The Recovery Act of 2009, also known as the Stimulus Bill, allocated record amounts of money for weatherization, $5 billion to be used over 3 years. Knoxville got $6 million, a windfall. Jason Estes, who's in charge of Knoxville's weatherization program, says it allowed them to work on some 1,500 homes, including one belonging to a former coal miner and his wife. In the winter, their utility bill would soar to $800 a month.
They wore two layers of clothes and socks. He actually wore a hat to bed. Where he laid his head, there was air coming through the window. He joked about it and said he kind of looked pretty funny, he guessed, but you have to do what you have to do. And they were always glad when the spring came.
Estes, who's a general contractor by training, ticked through all the improvements that weatherization funds paid for.
We put a new heat and air system in. We wrapped the water heater. We fixed the broken windows. We caulked all the doors and windows. We replaced lighting.
When all was done, the couple's energy use was cut in half. But here's the rub. weatherization is expensive, as much as $6,500 a house. Estes says typically you'll get 20% energy savings, so it could be 15 to 20 years before the work pays for itself. But Estes says the payoff for those in need is immediate.
Somebody that's getting $800 to $1,000 a month to live on, and they have to make those choices between, do I pay my utility bill? Do I buy my medicine? Do I buy food? Well, that $25, $75 a month that they might save is huge.
Lately, Jason Estes has been trying to figure out new strategies. He's working on a database to show which pockets of the city have the highest energy bills, who's getting the most energy assistance, and how folks in weatherized homes are doing. If someone's still asking for help, he wants to know why.
Maybe they're not changing their behavior. Maybe they've let more people move in, or maybe something has happened and we need to identify what's changed for that weatherization not to be saving them money.
Estes would love to weatherize much more of the city's affordable housing, but right now, that's a pipe dream. Since the Recovery Act, support for weatherization has plummeted. Department of Energy audits in other parts of the country, even elsewhere in Tennessee, found widespread waste and fraud and egregious examples of shoddy work.
That is very frustrating, and it's a battle that we have to continue to contain and deal with because it affects funding. Currently, we have 789 people on a waiting list for weatherization, and I have zero funding.
So for now, the yearly ritual of stopgap utility payments will go on, as imperfect as it is. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.